From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quimry. Although residents pay a premium for food and fuel, especially housing, Sitka is far from the most expensive place to live in Alaska, and in fact lands somewhere in the middle. But this is cold comfort for Sitkins and residents of other communities, as Alaska remains near the top of the list of expensive places to live in the country as a whole. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has us look at recent trends in the cost of living published by the state.
If you spend any time on social media, you've probably seen lists of the best places to live or the best places to retire, and the metrics those surveys use probably differ from those of the Alaska Department of Labor, which relies on cold, hard numbers. Economically speaking, Alaska is just not that attractive. The June issue of Alaska Economic Trends, published by the Alaska Department of Labor, reports that Alaska is the fifth most costly state in the U.S. to live in, behind New York, California, Massachusetts, and Hawaii. Food, fuel, and transportation are the main culprits, although in Fairbanks, the biggest burn, literally, is heating fuel, which is over 100% higher than the national average. Paying $100 for a large bag of groceries is becoming more common in urban Alaska. In Kodiak, almost a twin of Sitka's across the Gulf, groceries are 53% more expensive than the national average. Kodiak, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Anchorage are the only cities in the state whose data on consumer prices are compiled by the National Council for Community and Economic Research. Folding in data from some of Alaska's rural areas would skew the graph so far as to make it unusable. A gallon of gas in Galena, for example, was selling for just over $10 this spring. To learn how the rest of the state stands up, economists turn to a list generated by the Department of Defense, which adjusts military salaries according to the cost of living in communities where personnel are stationed. Wasilla is at the bottom of the list, although it's still 28% more expensive to live there than the national average. Bethel and Cordova are tied at the top at 46% more expensive than the rest of the country. Homer, Kenai, King Salmon, and Valdez are tied for second at 44% more expensive. Sitka, Petersburg, Juneau, Nome, and Wainwright are in third place at 38% more expensive than the rest of the country. And interestingly, when you subtract the high housing and utility costs, the military, which subsidizes housing, puts Fairbanks near the bottom at 34% above the rest of the nation. The good news is that inflation is cooling off in Alaska, and some prices are even coming down off their high last year, like meat, poultry, and eggs at the grocery store, and used cars and trucks. Housing is not coming down, though. The average price of a home in Alaska is now over $380,000, an 8% jump from last year. In Juneau, that figure is now over $500,000. Sitka's prices are in that ballpark, although the market is too small to say with any precision. The state does track rents, however, and puts the median cost for a two-bedroom apartment in Sitka at $1,400, just below Juneau and above Chugach. What the state doesn't measure is the burden created by high housing costs. In April, McKinley Research reported that almost a quarter of Sitka's homeowners and half of its renters pay a third or more of their income on housing costs, and cost burdening is not unique to Sitka. So, until someone starts factoring in the state's relatively low taxes and its superabundance of natural beauty and wild country, Alaska is not going to be topping those lists of desirable places to live on social media. And most residents can probably live with that. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has denied a petition to put Southeast Alaska wolves on the endangered species list. It's a blow for the environmental groups seeking the designation, but as KSTK's Sage Smiley reports, the decision vindicates widespread testimony of hunters and wildlife managers in the region.
Southeast Alaska's wolf population could decline in the next 30 years, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. One part of the population located on and around Prince of Wales Island could even die off completely. But that doesn't mean the wolves warrant a place on the federal endangered species list. In late August, Fish and Wildlife denied a petition to list Alexander Archipelago wolves as endangered or threatened. That population includes all of Southeast Alaska. Erin Knoll is an endangered species coordinator with the Fish and Wildlife Service in Alaska.
Endangered is is the species in danger of extinction throughout all of its range or throughout a significant portion of its range? And then threatened is the species in danger of extinction in the foreseeable future? So it's not just like a little less endangered, it's what does it look like in the future? So for Alexander Archipelago wolf, the service did not find that the species meets the definition of either threatened or endangered.
Fish and Wildlife estimates there are around 2,200 Alexander Archipelago wolves alive today, living mostly in southeast Alaska, with the remainder in coastal British Columbia. Noel says Fish and Wildlife's ruling is notable because it's one of the first times the agency has relied heavily on indigenous species knowledge to help inform a decision.
Indigenous knowledge holders played a big role in the information in the species status assessment by helping us fill some pretty big knowledge gaps.
Like where the wolves in the northern part of the region tend to frequent and what they like to eat. It's the third time the agency has declined to list southeast wolves as endangered, and that denial vindicates the longstanding position of state wildlife managers.
We've always maintained that the populations in southeast are not endangered, at a risk of going extinct.
Ryan Scott is the acting director for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Division of Wildlife Conservation.
The other extenuating factors, you know, forest practices, other resource uses and climate change that were noted in the petition, we just have not seen that translated to a reduction in wolf numbers.
And Scott says southeast communities and resource users, quote, overwhelmingly condemned the petition to list Alexander Archipelago wolves as endangered. Tim O'Connor is one. He's the mayor of Craig, a town of about 1,000 people on Prince of Wales Island. Earlier this year, O'Connor signed a petition opposing the designation.
It would have curtailed almost all logging activity in the forest, as well as, I believe, it would have endangered the ability to subsistence deer hunt and hunt as we do or have for years down here.
O'Connor says he got the sense that the push to list the wolves came from outside the state.
It's just an attempt at somebody from another state trying to regulate Alaska because they destroyed their own backyards and now they want to mess around in ours. I do oppose that kind of opposition.
The Center for Biological Diversity is a national conservation nonprofit and one of the petitioners requesting the wolf population be considered endangered or threatened. Cooper Freeman is a representative for the Alaska chapter. He says the denied petition is a disappointment.
We think that Department of Fish and Game's management objective of 150 to 200 wolves is not sustainable and that their population estimates aren't credible. And we're just absolutely concerned about the state's aggressive push to increase old growth logging on Prince of Wales. And, you know, as threats from old growth logging by the state, unrestricted hunting and trapping and climate change escalate, this is one of the key tools we have to fight for the wolf.
Freeman says his organization is still reviewing the impacts of the decision and doesn't know if they'll appeal or submit another petition in the future. But he says the concern remains. Scott, the state wildlife conservation director, says the denied petition to list southeast wolves won't immediately result in change to the state's management.
But we're always changing. You know, as we learn more, we will adapt our management to better address wolf populations. But as of now, what we're doing is working, and we're not seeing, a decline in wolf numbers based on our current management strategies.
Although the wolves haven't been listed as endangered or threatened now, Noel, the endangered species coordinator with Fish and Wildlife, says petitions do bring to light the issues with declining species and can help prompt conservation and restoration efforts.
Nobody wants a species to be listed as threatened or endangered, right? Like, that's the worst case scenario that we've gotten to there. So what are things that we can do or work with others to stop that from happening?
And she says the decision doesn't bar the wolves from the endangered species list forever. Anyone could petition Fish and Wildlife to list the Alexander Archipelago wolves at any time in the future, and the process would begin again. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 66 degrees and overcast. Tonight, there's a chance of some rain, with a low of 56 degrees. Tomorrow and Thursday look rainy as well, and that might last through the weekend. I know we've been saying that, but maybe this time it's true. For more stories, go to ktoo.org. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry.